I'm totally disgusted with myself. I'm angry at myself, is what I am. I'm pissed at myself. I gained weight, man, and I know we've talked about this before, but you've gained weight too. You don't look very good either. No, you don't. I can see it in your belly. And your cheeks look a little puffier. You don't look that good either. We're all in the same boat. We went through the holidays. We screwed ourselves up. We consciously started screwing ourselves up by eating pies and sugars and fatty meats and snacks and potato chips. We basically said, I don't care now. I'm going to ruin myself to a great extent. And then the holidays were over. I was taking the Christmas lights down, the Kwanzaa lights, and I was dismantling the menorah. And that's when I looked in the mirror and I saw the end results. They creeped up on me like some kind of horror film, like some dark figure lurking in the background. Got closer and closer, and then I looked in the mirror and I saw the results. And as I said yesterday, I believe on the show or a couple of days ago, I stepped on the scale for the first time since Thanksgiving. I'd been avoiding the scale like the plague. Don't go near the scale. Stay away from the scale. It's evil. It will depress you. Well, I stepped on the scale, and I gained 8 pounds. 8 lovely, fatty, disgusting, lardy pounds. And I can see it on me as well. Not the scale, the pounds. I went into a deep depression. I spiraled into the den of hell. And I got down on myself. Ron, how could you do this to yourself? You like yourself. You used to like yourself. I don't know what your deal is now. You don't seem to like yourself. You seem to be on some type of a path to destruction. And my doctor tells me if I gain 1 pound, all of a sudden it'll be Armageddon or something. Well, apparently that wasn't the case. It wasn't hard to gain 8 pounds in the space of 2 months. It's going to be impossible to get rid of them in the space of what I consider to be an emergency 2 days. 2 days, Ron? You want to lose 8 pounds in 2 days? Yeah, I want to lose it in 2 hours. Disgusted with myself. When I go out in public, I wear a mask. Well, I don't do that. That's stupid. When I go out in public, though, I wear clothing that's slimming. I wear black, which is the color of dismal and darkness. But it also makes you look slimmer. And I try to hide that belly. It's awful. I had some back problems. I'm a very tall person, and when I was growing up, I sprouted up like Jack and the Beanstalk-wise. So I had like back problems through some of my life. Nothing really horrible, just here and there, some back pain. So I bought this back support thing. It's like a, what do you call it there? It wraps around your stomach and your lower back, and it keeps your posture straight, and it keeps your guts pulled in so you look skinnier and your back supported. Well, I didn't put it on because of the back. I put it in because I wanted to tie my guts into my body so they didn't stick out of my stomach like that. Went through a day of that, and then I took it off, and that stomach part just came tumbling out. That didn't work at all. So now, as we're in the new year, which I can't believe, I have started the diet. I'm only eating 26 meals a day. I can't stop, man. I have no discipline. I like food. It tastes good. It's satisfying. It makes me feel good. But the next morning when I look in the mirror, makes me feel bad. How do you kick this? Well, later on in the program, we're going to talk to an expert in this field who tells me, yeah, you got to eat right, but you also got to excise tax. I've got that on my mind. You've also got to exercise. And I've said through my entire life, exercise? That's stupid. That's stupid. Takes me a half an hour to burn only half the calories that I ate, and I only had like a slice of pizza. this exercise expert told me, Ron, you don't understand. That's not what it's about. So we'll talk to him later on in the show. Is that something to look forward to or what? Did I start the show yet, by the way? Or did I just start blabbing? Yeah, I just started blabbing. I didn't start the show. Here we go.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, welcome to the program. Am I bonding with you? Are we bonding at all? Are we bonding without touching each other? I think that's really optimal. I'm on a quest now. I'm on a quest. I don't care if it's the new year or the old year or no year at all. I don't care anymore. I'm on a quest. And here's my deadline. And you're going to do this with me whether you like it or not. Whether you're fat or not. You're still going to do it with me because I need your support. When we do things together, we can actually get things accomplished. When we do things alone, forget it. Nobody's got the discipline. You hear me? I'm wiping my nose. Not only do I have a small gut, but I have a runny nose. I'm just falling apart, man. I'm scared to go into the bathroom. There's a mirror there. I'm taking all my mirrors out. I think that in the stores they sell something called a skinny mirror, where it compresses somehow, and when you look in the mirror, you look skinny. I think that would be wonderful, but at the same time, it's not realistic. That's like a Donald Trump mirror. You look and you see your reflection, which looks wonderful. But Donald, it's really not wonderful. It's horrible. Yeah, that's a Trump mirror. It's delusional. Delusional skinny mirror. Here's my quest. Next Wednesday, I have my doctor's appointment. It's my semi-annual follow-up. I don't know what a follow-up is either. I went for my physical over the summer. They said I was just fine. I weighed 12 pounds less than I do now at that point. If I walk into my doctor's office and she finds out that I've gained 8 pounds or, man, 15 pounds, I guess, if you look at it that way since she last saw me, she's going to have a cow, which is difficult because she's a vegetarian. She's going to be angry at me. She's going to chastise me. I don't think I've gained 15 pounds. I think maybe I gained 10 since she saw me last. But she's going to be pissed. Oh, she's going to scream at me. She's going to send me to my room, to my waiting room. She's going to be really angry. She's going to curse at me. And she'll slap me around, which is hard in those tiny little examining rooms. I got no place to run. I can't run around that little stupid tissue bed. She'll catch me and she'll beat the crap out of me. That's a good doctor. She'll be very angry. And I'll tell her it was the holidays, it was the pies and stuff. And she'll say, Ron, that's no excuse. That's no excuse. Do I go out and eat red meat because it's the holidays? No, I'm a vegetarian. I don't know what I am. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a vegan. I don't do that. Do I go around eating meat over the holidays all of a sudden? No, I don't. Okay, get off my back, doctor. I don't pay you to be verbally abusive to me. I pay you to... Well, actually, I don't know why I pay you, to be honest with you. I really don't know really what happens here to be... You check my vitals and you malign me and then I pay you money. Wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. So that's my deadline. I can't drop 8 pounds in 6 days. That's actually not healthy. But I can get close to that. So that's what I'm trying to do. If I can drop 5 pounds, I'd be happy. So do this with me. Here's what I want you to do. If you see me in the streets, which is difficult because I do the show in Boston and you might live in California, so chances of seeing me in the streets are not great. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to email me every once in a while and give me confidence. Say, Ron, You can do it. You can do it, Ron. My email is Ron Van Dam, RONVANDAM. That's my name. @gmail.com. You're welcome to email me. I will never respond to you, but I will take your comments of great support, and I will accept them accordingly. And I send them on to you. I don't know what your email is. If you, you know, I guess if I get an email from you, I'll know your email. I think that's the way that works. I'm not really technically up on all this stuff. I might respond and say, I support you as well, or something like that. But let's not let the relationship go any further than that, okay? I'm good. I don't need that stuff in my life right now or anytime. I need support. I need support. If you see me in the street and you see me eating a slice of pizza or eating a hot dog, just slap it out of my hand. Slap it out of my hand. Let that sucker go flying, because I need to be stopped. I need to be stopped. I'm going to eat a good-sized breakfast, a small-sized lunch, and a very petite dinner. And in between meals, if I get hungry, I'm going to have a couple of nuts. And that's it. And I got to do this for 6 days. Now, I can drink alcohol, because it's the only way I can get through these 6 days. So that's acceptable. But no margaritas, no sugary drinks. Just a little vodka here and there, and I think we'll all be happy. And I'm not talking to the six-year-olds. They shouldn't be listening to this show. If there's a six-year-old in the room, please, this is not... don't you know what you've gotten yourself into? Anyway. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about their driver's license. They had to get their driver's license renewed or something. Well, I have no idea. I don't listen to people when they talk. I remember what the subject matter was, but I have no idea what they said. I really don't pay attention. And I'm pretty good at that. I'll shake my head and I'll go, really? Wow. Wow, really? That's interesting. Wow. I have no idea what I'm agreeing to. I have no idea what they're doing, and I so totally don't care. I'm just shaking my head, just hoping for the whole conversation to go away. And it usually eventually does. But a topic was driver's licenses, and I guess the question was, should I be an organ donor? I guess on the driver's license, on this person's driver's license. I never saw it. They never asked me. But the question was, do you want to donate your organs? And I said, first of all, who cares? I mean, I need my organs right now. But the question is, after you die, can we take your organs? And I kind of really didn't think it through. And then, I would say, yeah, I'm not going to be using them at that point, so go for it. If you can give life to something else, then I guess I'm a good person. Is that my definition of a good person? But then I would start having nightmares where in the middle of the night there'd be like a knock on the door, and I'd put my bathrobe on because I sleep naked sometimes, and I would walk downstairs, open the door, and it would be a guy in a black suit with a black tie and a black hat, looking like the Grim Reaper, only dressed up really well. And I would say, can I help you? And the person in the black suit would say, I've come to collect your organs. And I would say, oh, no, there's a misunderstanding. That wasn't supposed to be until after I die. And the person in the black suit would say, that's not what was said on the card. It simply asked, are you willing to donate your organs? And you said, yes. So I'm here to collect your organs. Oh, no, you don't. No, this is a gigantic misunderstanding. It's supposed to be after I die. And then the person in the black suit would all of a sudden morph into a black cape, and it would be the Grim Reaper, and saying, okay, well then, here you go. And I would wake up in a cold sweat. Nobody ever wakes up in a hot sweat. I only sweat when I'm hot. I really do. On a hot day, like 100 degrees outside, I'm sweating hot. But for some reason, when you're in bed and you wake up, it's a cold sweat. I don't understand that whole thing. I've never had a cold sweat in my life. So that's my great fear. Then I'm thinking, do I need all my organs? And the answer is yes, I really I do. most of them produce gas. I think every organ I has has a single every organ I has produces gas. I really do. I always have gas. My organs are moving around like a pinball machine in there because the gas is just bouncing them off of each other. It's a horrible existence. That's why I'm giving my organs away. Somewhat like Oprah does. You get an organ, you get an organ, you get an organ, you get an organ, you get an organ. All right, fine. That's enough of that. Have you had enough? Let's take a little break. We're going to take a short commercial break and we come back. There's more show, so there's no reason for you to go anywhere or do anything. You're fine. You're good. Take it easy.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Ouch. Well, that's a little much. That's why your organs go bad. We all just abuse our body like crazy. We really do. I've got a fitness gym nearby. It's at Planet Fitness, where everything is purple. I joined it because they gave you free pens. And then I realized shortly after that, every place gives you free pens. So, like, why did you join this gym? I did it because there was no contract involved. It was like a dollar for membership and then $10 a month. And I thought, well, if I have one drink a month, that's more than $10. So it'd be kind of like nasty to myself if I didn't actually join this gym. Well, I did join the gym. I got a Planet Fitness t-shirt, which I wear proudly around town. So people think that I belong to a gym, but I don't. Actually, I do. I just don't go. But it looks like I'm concerned about myself, but I'm not. And the Planet Fitness t-shirt is actually black, and it says Planet Fitness on it in like purple letters, but the t-shirt itself is black, which is slimming. So it was worth it joining the gym. Actually, a t-shirt cost me $120. I'm sorry, $121. But I wear it proudly, and I wear it often. And I took a lot of pens. Sometimes I walk into the gym and I won't actually walk in. I'll just grab some pens and leave again. It doesn't get me anywhere, but it makes me feel better about myself. Like I've come out on top, and that's a slimming feeling. I like the people behind the counter at gyms. There's one guy roaming around or one lady, and they are very well built. It seems like they are obsessed. There's a lot of obsessive personalities in a gym, which is good for them. Because they go all the time. I'm not obsessive, so I don't go. But they look like they constantly do. They've got muscles ripping out of their clothes. They think they look good, but they don't. Nothing fits them. They look a little strange. They look like they came from a Marvel Comics movie. But yet, for some reason, they walk around like they think they're looking good. They're not. To me. The people behind the counter look like teenagers who are in the process of clearing up their skin through medication. It doesn't take a lot of brains to stand behind the counter and answer questions. So they just stand there. It kind of reminds me of like volunteering your time at the Y. standing behind the counter. It's a similar feeling. But that's about my only connection to the place. The one time I did go to Planet Fitness, I got on the exercise bike. And by the way, those things don't move around. They just stay. They should call them stationary bikes. Well, they do. But I noticed everybody was walking around with a paper towel and a bottle of something. I don't know what that stuff was. Glass cleaner, ammonia, pneumonia. I don't know what the hell was in that. I don't know. But they would spray the equipment, wipe it down before they got on it. And then I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like an environment I want to be a part of. Why would I want to walk around cleaning gym equipment? Is it that dirty that I can't sit on it? Are people walking around with sweaty asses and sweaty palms and all these diseases where before you get on a machine and after you get off, you're supposed to wipe them down? That doesn't seem sanitary. There's no other place that I go at all during the course of my day where I have to walk around with a paper towel and a cleaner in my hand. When I go to the supermarket, not. Although they do have some sanitary wipes where you're supposed to wipe the handle down. But other than that, no, it's only in a gym that they pretty much admit everybody, every member has a terrible disease and is sweaty and stupid and smells and is contagious. So here's equipment to wipe everything down before you pick up some horrible disease from these people. I'm not going there on a daily basis. But I do have more pens than I can handle. I don't write that much. But I got plenty of pens in case I do. Are the kids out of the room, by the way?
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dan. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent.
Excellent. Jeff Sweefel joins us now. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Lifetime Incorporated. And we're talking about the new year, making commitments. That seems to be the time of year when we do that kind of thing. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But you've got an interesting approach on this, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, thanks. Good morning. We know that the face the reality of the New Year's getting fit and eating right is a challenging proposition for most.
Yes.
Yes.
So how do you make sure that this time it's not just words?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, is how do you break this cycle of New Year's resolutions. The first thing that we talk about, Ron, is getting people to think about a commitment. Think about it very differently. You know, consistency is key. How you develop a habit is critical in this process. Having a really simple plan to get started is so important. So we use these elements called, three elements called know it, nourish it, and move it. Mm-hmm. You know it. Break it down really is important to know, you know, how you want to approach a personal fitness program, understand your body, how it works, how it responds to food and exercise, nourish it. You know that eating right is such a critical part of it. So properly fueling your body and understanding what kind of nutrients you need is so important. And then move it, you know, find an activity that you really enjoy. It doesn't matter what that is. And then developing a plan and getting after it, you know. So we at Lifetime, we're championing the happy, healthy lives, and it kicks off with this January 1st Commitment Day event that we're running across 35 locations. You can run it, you can walk it, but what we want to try to get people to do themselves and their families is get out there and make a commitment to a healthy way of life.
Okay. Now, your company does things differently. You kind of have an interesting, different approach to everything.
Yeah, we're a unique organization. You know, we were founded in 1992, and we've got 141 locations across the North America now. But we really cater to, you know, families. You know, you think about health clubs. You know, we have huge indoor and outdoor water parks, amazing locations, that destinations that we offer. They're like resort and country clubs. But, you know, working out can be an intimidating thing for people. Going into a health club can be an intimidating thing. It's not for everybody. What we want to encourage people to do is just get active, no matter how that is, walking, jogging, you know, whatever it might be. And once that happens, people start getting the benefits, and that becomes a great cycle for people to get into. But getting started is tough.
Okay. Now, convince me, explain to me how exercising does anything. I sometimes eat properly, and then I figure, well, you know, if I exercise for half an hour, I'm only not even burning off what I just ate. So it kind of makes me feel like I shouldn't be doing it. But then at the same time, I don't think I totally understand what the benefits of exercise are as far as metabolism and all that stuff goes.
Well, that's a great question, Ron, because I think that's a challenge that we have is we've really done a poor job in kind of communicating. You know, we as Americans and all humans are notoriously bad at assessing the long-term benefits. Prevention is a really tough sell, but when you really think about it, there isn't anything more effective than exercise. I think if there was a drug that could do for human health everything that exercise can, it'd be likely the most valuable pharmaceutical ever developed.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the psychological and physiological benefits when you go down to slowing aging, better mood, less chronic pain, better vision. I mean, the research shows improved heart function, blood sugar control. But you're right. I heard I've been in this business for 35 years. And, you know, my grandmother said over the holidays, it's something that I recognized was breaking through. She said, you know, exercise is more important. Physical inactivity is a greater risk factor to your health than smoking. And it is so true. When you think about aerobic exercise, Ron, or cardiovascular exercise, like walking, jogging, cycling, a lot of health benefits to it. But when it comes to weight loss, as you said, Ron, alone, it's not a very effective option. Because if you think about it in terms of a financial investment, you get a dividend only really once when it comes to weight loss. You burn calories during the session, and then for a few hours post-exercise.
Yeah.
But when you add some sort of resistance training, you're able to receive a dividend or a financial payout over the long run because you increase your lean body mass or your metabolic tissue, allowing you to burn more calories around the clock, and that's what really can aid in improving your metabolism. And help your body comp. So you kind of ideally do a little bit of both.
All right, so it's not pound for pound. It's actually increasing your metabolism so it's more efficient all the time.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing for people. They get on the scale and immediately looking for that change.
Yeah.
And that body composition change happens a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand that.
Yeah, that's, you know, our society expects right away, right now. If I do this, then this happens immediately.
Magic bullet.
Yeah, I know. And
quick fix. And that's usually why the New Year's resolutions fail is because people aren't committed to it over the long run, and they have unrealistic expectations. They really get into it thinking that they're going to, you know, change something that's been set over the long run overnight. And that 2 pound weight loss per week is the maximum that anybody should think about to keep it off. And you might see that initial weight loss, but rather you'll see those changes in body composition. Scale's really not a good indicator of fitness. So you got to look at multiple health parameters, Ron, like you know, your resting heart rate, your blood pressure, your body composition, your blood lipids, you know, your total cholesterol, things like that, and metabolism. So all those things are critical.
You know, it's interesting because when you're younger, you move around just by definition. When you get to be around 40 or 50 or 60, you don't move that much. Just kind of, yeah. You know,
and
you,
that makes a yeah. That makes a massive difference, Ron, because you know it's the what I call the formal and informal physical activity, and you're talking about the informal, which is so doggone valuable to people, is just moving.
Yeah.
We sit so much and we're so sedentary. So, you know, if you don't get up and move around, you know, it's a vicious cycle. Yeah. And the adage of you don't use it, you lose it is so true in our lives. And I'm most interested in people's quality of life, their ability to enjoy everything that they can in life as long as possible. Yes, sir, exercise extends longevity, but the quality of life is so key. So little physical activity things like mowing the grass, raking the leaves, washing the car, you know, and in the cold weather, it gets tough.
Yeah.
And so finding places to be informally active is so critical, along with some formal exercise as well.
Okay. Well, it's a good time of year to do this. You know, the holidays are basically over. Get rid of all the junk and all the excessive sweets and things and put your mind in a different place and give it a shot. You're very you're very convincing, Jeff. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
I may actually do this year. how do I get more information about this?
Well, we'd love people to go to commitmentday.com and learn a little bit more. We've got 35 of these events going on across the country. There's one in Burlington, Massachusetts, as well, around our club, Lifetime Fitness. And we encourage people to go out. And again, like I said, it's about a run or a walk. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about it next year, saying, I'm going to go and do better in that event. And make that commitment to a healthy way of life. That those outdoor run walks start at 10 a.m. Central Standard, and it really does signify a different approach to New Year's resolutions. Making this commitment, having a solid plan, and getting the right support, and making sure you set up the right goals and objectives.
Yeah. You should write a book called "Exercise Bikes Are Not Just for Hanging Up Clothes."
I like it. I like it, Ron.
Now, I have to get a percentage now because I gave you the title.
Get a piece of that.
Yeah, just a small piece. Okay.
Jeff, I'm a giver.
You're a giver. Okay. I'm a receiver. So thank you very much. Jeff, it's been great talking to you, and have a wonderful year, and thanks for the good tips here.
Happy New Year, Ron.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Nice man. He's a nice man. He exercises and he's nice. How often do you see that? All right. Let's get it on. Let's do this. Let's lose that weight. Let's be healthier. Let's be happier. What do you say? No? Yeah, I agree. Hey, I wish you peace.